And now, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting to Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, throughout the nine worlds and beyond, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. You are tuned to the immortal sounds of Radio Free Asgard.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to Radio Free Asgard. This is episode number 145. My name is Tom Harris, and as always, we're coming at you from beautiful Chicago, Illinois. Though I didn't wake up in Chicago, Illinois this morning, folks. No, indeed. I have spent the last 3.5 days in Orlando, Florida. Yeah, I was down there seeing family and also a very badly needed break. And got to see a bunch of people, of course, stayed with my sister and brother-in-law, and got to see my nieces and my grandnieces, and I also got to see my parents on different days. And so, yeah, it was good. For the most part, it was pretty chill and relaxing, and it was exactly what I needed. It is a kind of a big shock to come back up here where, you know, it's 50 degrees and still obviously very early in the spring. And coming from the South Florida weather, it was 80s every day and into the 90s and humid, and it's kind of gross, actually, I have to say. And we didn't do any of the parks, anything like that. I've done those things enough times that I really don't feel like I need to when I go down there. That every once in a while you get a hankering for it and you have to scratch that itch, don't you? Anyway, but that was not this time. Maybe at some time I'll have a little bit longer to stay down there and I'll go to some of the parks or something. All right. So without any further ado, let's go ahead and move along to our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold
And this week we behold in breathless wonder Thor, God of Thunder, issue number 14, The Accursed, part 2. This issue has a cover date of December of 2013. Cover art is by Ron Garney. Shows Thor riding on the back of a very angry-looking goat thing and holding his hammer back and the sun gleaming off his hammers. It's kind of what it looks like. It could be shooting lightning, I guess, but it mostly just looks like it's reflecting light. And behind him are some strange creature warrior things, and they're riding dogs, folks. Yes, indeed, they are riding dogs. And we open up to the splash page where we get a little bit of a recap here. Lives are lost. Blood is spilled. Suffering is widespread. In the realm of the dead, a hall is stormed and a prisoner is freed. A dark elf named Malekith, who seeks rebellion and the death of his people. For this madness to stop, forces must gather that might otherwise not. Where there are lives lost, where there is blood spilled, and where there is suffering, Thor, God of Thunder, is there to end it. Thor, God of Thunder, in The Accursed, part 2 of 5, The League of Realms. And of course, we have the credits here. Jason Aaron is the writer, Ron Garney, the artist, Ives Sforzina is the color artist, VC's Joe Sabino was the letterer, John Moisson, the assistant editor. Lauren Sankovich was the editor. Axel Alonso, the editor-in-chief. Joe Quesada, the chief creative officer. Dan Buckley, the publisher. And Alan Fine is the executive producer. Our story opens up in Nidavellir, the mountainous world of the dwarves, where the air is thick with mist and all is deathly silent, at least above the ground. And below the ground, you have the workplaces of the dwarves, where they're making all sorts of weapons and things, and we get exposition here. Inside the mountains, endless caverns echo day and night with the roar of ancient machinery and the pounding of hammer on anvil and pickaxe on rock. There are no grand towers in Nidavellir, no castles, no soaring cathedrals. Instead, its strongholds reach deep into the earth. Guarding the fiery furnaces where the great weapons of all the nine realms were forged. The dwarves are a sullen and reclusive lot, rarely receptive of visitors, never receptive of elves, which makes today all the more unusual. And we do see the elves there working down in the mines and, you know, hammering on, you know, I guess, you know, weapons, I guess they're making. And it's really interesting. The art here reminds me a lot of the series from back in the 70s that Marvel published called Weird World. I think it was originally by Doug Mensch and Mike Ploog. But I do remember that one of the major story arcs in that was drawn by John Buscema. And the dwarves in this story look as though they came right out of that, as drawn by John Buscema. So, of course, we're in the Kingdom of the Dwarves, and we see that there's a dark elf group of, ambassadors or emissaries or something that have appeared, and they are being led to, their accommodation. And the dwarf in charge is saying, "Welcome to the Scornheim Mountains, Your Highness." And, of course, this is creating a huge stir among the dwarves, and they're saying, "Alfise of Svartalfheim, Queen of the Dark Elves, what the guano is she doing here?"
"Just show me to my quarters, Master Dwarf, and I do hope there is a bath, though it would seem that none of you make use of it."
"There's a geyser we shower in after every couple of cave-ins. Water's hot enough to scald the ticks off, and the pinworms are so big they're easy enough to dodge."
"Surtur's teeth, it's hot as Muspelheim in here," says one of the Dark Elf guards.
"I can feel the air giving me dysentery."
"Here's where you'll be staying," says the dwarf, and basically leads them to a cave full of bats. "Might want to give those blankets a good shaking. Scorpions sometimes lay their eggs in there."
"Dare I ask, is there a lavatory?"
"I'll fetch a bucket."
"But there are 20 of us."
"I'll fetch a barrel."
And the dwarf goes off.
"Revolting creatures, these dwarves," says one of the guards. "We would have been better off staying with trolls."
"Mind your tongue, Lord Swarmsuckle, or you'll be sleeping with trolls yet. Remember, all of you, we are here at the Dwarf King's leisure. Unless you'd rather be facing Malekith and his rebels in the field." "No, I thought not."
"How do we know we can trust these dwarves, Your Majesty?"
"I've promised them mining rights to Svartalfheim's eastern spires. That should buy their loyalty. At least long enough for us to crush this rebellion and send that bastard Malekith back to hell. In regards to that..."
"No word from Sir Wormsong, Your Majesty, but surely he must have reached Malekith's camp by now. Malekith will have no choice but to accept the challenge. It would shame him before his men if he refused."
"Sir Wormsong is the greatest swordsman in all of Svartalfheim. He will not fail us."
And when the dwarves comes back, it says, "Dinner! Rock soup, pickled cave mold, and sour slug milk. Eat it up before it goes rancid."
"It smells like it already has."
"What I wouldn't have given for fresh butterfly brain salad about now."
"Send a courier, Pixie, to Sir Wormsong at once. Encourage him to make all possible haste."
"Yes, my queen."
"And tell him he must not forget. I want Malekith's head delivered to me unmolested, so that I might tear the traitor's tongue out myself."
And we shift scenes here to the Dark Elf Kingdom, and we have Sir Wormsong, and he appears to be fighting against somebody. And he's got a sword drawn, and it looks like he's in battle.
"Well, whatever's the matter, Sir Wormsong? I have accepted your challenge. Why do you hesitate?"
This isn't fair."
We pull out to see that Wormsong and Malekith are facing each other. They're standing on this giant spiky log, which means that Malekith is a tree murderer. And it's over this great big pit, and it's full of these ravenous dogs.
"Not fair. Whatever do you mean, Sir Knight?"
"You're the Lord of the Wild Hunt, Malekith. Everyone knows that. Those are your dogs. How do I know they'll attack you as same as they would me?"
"My men and I have just come back from slaughtering another village of those who were once my people, which means these dogs have been feasting on dark elf flesh all morning. In this state, I assure you, they would eat their own mothers. They sometimes do, by the way. Eat their own mothers, I mean, just as they once ate mine. Shall we?"
"For the glory of Svartalfheim,
Today I will feed your own beasts, Malekith the Accursed. And the two of them start to fight, and they're sword fighting on top of this big spiky log, and yeah, Wormsong punches Malekith, and he's punching back, and they seem to be relatively evenly matched, but you can see that Wormsong kind of has the advantage and is kind of doing a little bit more damage here.
You could save us both a great deal of sweat and perhaps blood, dear, Wormsong, if you would simply tell me where your lovely queen is hiding, so she and I might work out our differences face to face.
You'll lay eyes on the queen, villain, once I bring her your head.
Hurt, says Malekith, as Sir Wormsong strikes him with a sword. Alphlis has chosen wisely. You are indeed a better swordsman than I am, Sir Wormsong. The finest in all of Svartalfheim, I'll wager. But unfortunately for you, my good knight, he takes his sword and he destroys this log that they're on with a big shrack. And Wormsong is like, no! And next panel, we see that Malekith is floating in the air using magic while Sir Wormsong goes tumbling below to the dogs, who tear him up. And Malekith says, I'm still the better sorcerer. And he laughs like the Joker as the dogs tear Wormsong to bits. We then shift scenes back to Asgardia, the city of the gods on Earth. And we see the Thor there and the Warriors 3, or at least Hogan and Fandral, somebody who looks like it could be Heimdall. We have the Lady Sif there in the background as well. And Thor is saying, to arms, warriors of the realm eternal. The longer we tarry, the more blood Malekith spills. To Svartalfheim! Time to end his coward's reign of terror once and for... And he is interrupted by the All-Mother Freya.
Stand down, brave warriors of Asgard. Your swords will not be needed here today. Thor, my son, walk with me.
Now, this is weird because this must be part of the Marvel continuity that I've missed out on. That somehow Freya is the queen of Asgard and is calling Thor her son. That doesn't make a lot of sense from a mythological standpoint, but here it is. And so Thor goes with Freya and Volstagg, who's here in really fancy armor compared to what he usually wears. And they're wandering through apparently the garden here in Asgard.
Forbidden to pursue Malekith? Mother, what madness do you speak?
I'm sorry, my son. The Congress of Worlds has just finished meeting on this very issue. It was a most spirited debate.
I've more children than I can count, so I'm used to a good deal of caterwauling. But a congress of dwarf, troll, and storm giant senators doth raise the act of screaming to a veritable art form.
The congress has agreed there must be a response to Malekith's actions, but I'm afraid the son of Odin leading a force of solely Asgardian warriors would be seen as an illegal incursion by the other realms.
Then let me go alone, says Thor. Mjolnir is all the company I will need.
You do indeed have a place on the response team. A leadership role, in fact. You can thank the esteemed Senator Volstagg for that.
They did wither before the fury of my filibuster.
But you will not be going alone. To please the Congress, a response team must be a collective effort, with members from as many worlds as possible. Thus I give you the League of Realms,
and they arrive at a shelter, cupola sort of thing, and she waves her hand, and Thor is astounded by what he sees. And what we have is a collection of rather motley individuals, and they're introduced here by Freya.
Sir Ivory Honeyshot of the Light Elves of Alfheim, Lord of Longrose Hall, Baron of the Order of the Petal Blade, and First Cavalier in the Royal Dragoon of Her Holy Majesty Queen Featherwine of the Fae. If I may but prove half as capable a marksman as thou art beautiful, O All-Mother, then woe be unto Malekith and all of his ilk. Screwbeard, son of No-Ears, son of Headwound, of the Dynamite Dwarves of Nidavellir.
Screwbeard make Dark Elves go splode.
Ogmunder Draggelvad, Vesuvius the 17th, of the Long Stomp tribe from the hills of Jotunheim. He was sent to the Congress many months ago as an emissary of the Mountain Giants. We're all still quite anxious to hear him speak. We've taken to calling him Augie. And lastly, may I present...
Ood, the Troll.
Ood, the Troll. Brave souls of the League of Realms, I give you Thor, Odin's son of the Aesir, Prince of Asgard and God of Thunder. Here today you have all sworn a sacred oath to bring peace once more to these nine realms. May the fates be with you all as... You're forgetting someone!
And the woman approaches, and we see it's the Dark Elf female from last issue.
Lady Wazira of the Dark Elves of Svartalfheim, I'll be coming with you.
You? But you just lost an arm. You should be with the healers.
There'll be time for healing once Malekith is dead. And if it's my missing arm that bothers you, that's easily remedied.
And she reaches out and grabs a branch off of a rose bush and grafts it to her arm. And it starts growing into a magical rose bush wooden arm, I guess that is. So I guess Green Lantern wouldn't like her very much. The Golden Age one.
A dark elf sorceress, says the light elf. I would not trust such a woman with my chamber pot, let alone my life.
Screwbeard make elf witch go splode.
No offense, my lady, but haven't you suffered enough at Malekith's hands? Asks Thor.
Malekith took me by surprise before. Then he murdered my entire tribe before my eyes. I assure you, no more dark elf will be spilled while I live, except for his. Perhaps it would be wise to have a dark elf in the party, says Freya. A courier pixie has come from Nidavellir. Queen Alfleas of the Dark Elves has sought sanctuary with the dwarves and is requesting the protection of the Congress. It is time for this League of Realms to show its mettle, wouldn't you say, my son?
I say I go to fetch my goat, and whoever the hell is coming had best be ready to ride.
And Thor goes off to get his goat. And we then shift scenes to the gates of Nidavellir in the Skornheim Mountains. A short time later, apparently. And Thor and the rest of the party are kind of gathered outside the gates. And Thor is shouting,
Ho, dwarves of Nidavellir! We come in the name of the Congress of Worlds! Open your gate!
And they don't get any response from behind the gate.
Too quiet, says the dwarf. Gate should never be unguarded.
Perhaps no one told them we were coming. Should we have the giant knock?
No, something's wrong, says the dark elf. I can feel it. We must get inside, now!
And how are we supposed to do that, says the troll. That gate's the size of 50 ogres. Not even I could pry it open.
Stand back, says Thor,
and he takes his hammer and with a Quagoom! He smashes through the gate, and they see that there's lots and lots of fighting going on inside the kingdom of Nidavellir. And Thor's like,
The Dark Elves are here! Scumtongue! Murderer! Where's your master?
And one of the other Dark Elves is like,
Even if old Scumtongue could talk, something tells me that his answer would be, Go burn in Searcher's bowels, Asgardian swine.
Burn? Yes, someone will burn. I swear by the Eye of Odin, you all will burn.
And Thor throws Mjolnir at this big vat of molten metal and spills it on top of all the Dark Elves. And as he has his back turned, he's stabbed in the back by Malekith. It doesn't look like it's that serious, but with a shunk. And Thor's like, Hur! And Malekith's like,
And I swear by the toe of Jormungand that you will bleed, God of Bluster.
And the light elf pulls out. They look like earthly revolvers, and that's pretty much what they are. And he's shooting bullets at them. He's being asked by the dark elf woman,
"Your guns fire iron bullets, Sir Honeyshot?"
"Indeed, the mortal weakness of all elves, no matter their shade or sorcery."
"It's funny. I was always taught that light elves were squeamish, dandified pansies,
and I was taught that dark elves were vile, barbarous savages."
Then it would appear we both have much to learn.
Do we?
Bah, a troll of my caliber does not fight lackeys. Bring me Malekith, so I might kill him and claim all rewards and glory.
And the troll sits down on a chair and just kind of sitting there. The dwarf is like,
Brother dwarves, all will be avenged. Just tell Screwbeard. Where is Dynamite?
dwarf is going to go blow something up. And we see Thor still fighting Malekith, and they're kind of swiping back and forth. And they're fighting in the dark, which gives the dark elves an advantage, obviously. And Malekith is taunting Thor here.
You fight dark elves amid shadows. How very foolish, Asgardian. Almost as foolish as bringing a hammer to a knife fight.
And all of a sudden there's there's just a light giant sound effect here. Croom! And a giant hand reaching in through the wall and grabbing one of the warriors of the dark elves and flinging him out. And we see it's the giant that came with Thor and company, though they're really inconsistent about the size of the giant. And that's, you guys know already, that's one of my pet peeves is inconsistency. But anyway, so we have him grabbing the dark elf and flying him out. And Thor's saying,
I also brought a giant. Now apologize to my hammer.
And he's smacking Malekith with it, and they're fighting. The dwarf comes running out.
Splode! Big splode! Big splode!
And in the next panel, there is indeed a very big splode, and the side of the mountain gets blown out with a whaboom! And we come across the light elf, and he's saying,
I'm going to murder that blasted dwarf. He nearly buried us all, says the light elf.
Screwbeard kill many elves. Kill few more if you do not like it.
And the troll comes bursting out of the wreckage. He's like,
who did that? I'll grind their bones to goulash.
Thank heavens, the troll survived, said the light elf.
Where's Malekith? Is he dead? Asked the dark elf woman.
Malekith escaped. Again, says Thor.
Any sign of Queen Elfleas and her men?
Perhaps. It's hard to tell without the heads.
And they see a bunch of bodies here, and Mjolnir's glowing and is giving them light here.
Our first outing as the League of Realms would appear to be a most miserable failure.
My queen is dead. This will mean ruin for Svartalfheim. Chaos. Civil war.
Then to hell with this arrangement. I'll find Malekith on my own, says the troll. Just stay the hell out of my way.
And he goes stomping off.
Good riddance, troll. What use are you? You didn't lift so much a finger in the fight.
One finger is all it would take for me to cut you down, elf. Any of you.
The troll has the right idea, says the dark elf woman. I've tracked worms across the open swamp. I could have found Malekith already if it wasn't for the rest of you slowing me down.
Why you track worms?
No one is leaving, says Thor. If anyone attempts to walk out, they will answer to me and my hammer. I will smash their bones to dust, lay waste to their houses, and fire rain on their homelands. We swore an oath, and we shall not forsake it. We ride until Malekith is dead.
And we see that Mjolnir is illuminating the scene, and we see that the heads of all of these dark elves are hanging from the ceiling. This is Queen Elfleas and her party. And we have the story to be continued. And that is Thor, God of Thunder, number 14. And we'll be back with some commentary right after this message from our friends over at C2E2.
The Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo, also known as C2E2, is a convention spanning the latest and greatest from the worlds of comics, movies, television, toys, anime, manga, and video games. Bringing the best of popular culture to downtown Chicago on April 25th through 27th, C2E2's show floor is packed with hundreds of exhibitors, panels, guests such as Adam Hughes, Brian Azzarello, Eve Miles, and more, autograph sessions giving fans a chance to interact with their favorite creators, and screening rooms featuring sneak peeks at films and television shows months before they hit either the big or small screen. Join us for the best weekend of the year, April 25th through 27th. For more info, head on over to c2e2.com.
And of course, Radio Free Asgard will also be at C2E2. Look for us over on Podcaster's Alley. All right, so a few comments about the issue. Don't have a lot to say. You know, it's funny, when an issue is really good, there's really not a lot to make fun of, and this is a good, solid issue. I mean, this is a nice beginning to the story. Okay, we've seen this before. Think Lord of the Rings. All of a sudden, we have the United Nation of the Nine Worlds, and we have elves, and we have dwarves, and we have Asgardians all working together, and we've seen this a million times. It still works, though. You know, as long as it's done well, I don't have any particular problem with rehashing some old cliches. Whereas the writing may have a few of these cliches, the artwork is a different story. I kind of like the take that this Ron Garney has on Asgard and the Nine Worlds and kind of making things look different. I get that the idea here, you want to differentiate the Nine Worlds as much as possible. I like the fact that he's using John Buscema's kind of general template for the dwarves that he used when he was drawing the book. And also, like I said, back in Weird World, when Marvel was publishing that with John Buscema art. And I really like the fact that he's such a good layout artist that he really does tell a story better than Esad Ribic. And I hate to say that because, you know, like I said, I love Esad Ribic's art. But I think that Ron Garney is above and beyond Ribic when it comes to actually telling a story through pictures. I always got the sense with Ribic that without the dialogue, you really don't have a big clue of what's going on. Though it is pretty to look at. I mean, I guess that's part of the point. Garney's art isn't perfect, though, and I think a good example of this is if you look at Thor's goat, it doesn't look much like a goat. It looks more like a wolf than anything else. And again, we have these creatures that are being ridden by the dark elves that look exactly like dogs. I don't know if they're supposed to be or not, but I don't know. It just seems a little odd to me that they would ride dogs. I don't know. Maybe I'm just completely wrong about that, and we'll find out later that they are dogs. But anyway, one thing that I'm a little bit surprised by, though not necessarily displeased with, is that they chose a really lively color palette for this issue. It's a pretty dark issue, and there's some pretty dark things going on here with, you know, the Dark Elf Queen being beheaded with all of her army and so forth. But we have some really brightly colored panels in here, even when you're talking about these battle scenes that we have. It's certainly a big change from what we saw during the God Bomb saga with its very muted color palette. And I have to say, it works. I mean, it definitely, you have that fairy tale quality to it. You've got these bright colors, and it is highly effective. I really am liking what I'm seeing here that Ives Sforzina is doing here with the colors. All right, so that's about time to wrap it up, folks. Thanks for once again very much for listening. You can email the show. The email address is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. You can also join the Facebook group and join the conversation over there. And with that, we're going to go back over the Rainbow Bridge, back to Midgard, and we'll see you next week here on Radio Free Asgard. Radio Free Asgard is the property of Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor, his supporting cast, and the various stories that we feature on the show are copyright Marvel Comics and are presented for review and educational purposes, and we hope you find them entertaining as well. Musical selections from Eden, the Invincible Sword of the Elvesmith, are copyright Motzvent and are used with permission. If you like what you've heard on the show, we hope you'll tell your friends, or leave us an iTunes review, or even join our Facebook group. We do love hearing from our listeners. And if you didn't like it, well, oh well, we'll try to do better next time. Once again, thank you very much for listening to Radio Free Asgard.